on the district website. Cameras and microphones are turned off for our participants. You will see, however, we have a board member who is joining us virtually, Reverend Montima. The chat feature is turned on currently, however, participants can only chat with the host in order to sign up for public comment. If you are interested in speaking during the public comment section, you must provide your full name and the topic you wish to address in the chat prior to the start of the public comment. Please know that if you're signing up for public comment, that you'll be asked to share both your audio and video. The chat will be turned off after the public comment portion begins. I'd like to go ahead and start with Pledge Allegiance and moment of silence. Pledge Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'll ask everyone to stay standing for a moment of silence. Tonight, we'd especially like to remember Dr. James Olson, an educator at Sorrento High School and a fond member of our community who passed away on Saturday, November 18th, as well as Heather Delmar, class of 1995, who many of us have found died tragically recently. Thank you. Okay, are there any changes to the very brief agenda?
There are none.
Okay. At this time, we are at the public comment section. Time has been allocated at this board meeting for individuals to address the Sorrento School Board on issues of general concern. Due to privacy requirements, no individual persons may be identified during formal public comment. Each group should choose one representative to speak, and comments must be limited to no more than 5 minutes. All other individuals are limited to 3 minutes, and speakers may not cede their time to others. Speakers will be recognized by the board president, Michael. In the order in which you've signed up, if a large number of people have signed up to speak, we can, at our discretion, limit the number of persons allowed to speak based on the order of availability. During the course of this public comment, we can, at our discretion, enter into an executive session to hear matters of sensitive or private nature. Please remember that public comment is not a question and answer session. Once your name is called for public comment, you will be unmuted and your camera will be enabled. Once you start to speak, your time begins. When your time is up, you'll be muted and your camera will be turned off. Mr. Sweeney?
Yes, ma'am.
How many people do we have registered for comment at this time?
One person.
That person?
Brian Strasser.
If you could please go ahead and find her and unmute and allow her camera. We'll have our time to do. Hi, Fran. You can go ahead and get started whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you very much for allowing me to speak. I'm here tonight to strongly encourage you to vote no to this waiver when it comes time for you to cast your vote. The Smyrna School Board has allowed this waiver to pass continuously for over 15 years, citing the same rationale each time. That means that our school board has repeatedly decided to overload our K-3 classes for a very long time, instead of keeping our classes under the recommended 22 students. We need this to change. This is simply wrong and it needs to stop. We need to keep our K-3 class sizes small and manageable in order to provide a quality education to our students that we owe that to them. Our school board has passed this waiver despite public outcry to vote no in the past. Please do not make the same mistake again. Please vote no to this waiver. This year, as you all are fully aware, has been one like no other. Passing this waiver would put the health and safety of our students and staff and community in even more jeopardy. They are already dealing with enough. I'm asking you that you make the health and safety of your students, staff, and community a priority while making your decision. Permit us to follow the Smyrna School District recommendations for reopening our schools. Adding more students to our already maxed out classrooms would be irresponsible. Again, I'm asking you to please vote no to this waiver. Although our schools are trying to follow and maintain the safety protocols and guidelines that have been given to us, quite frankly, it's a task that's impossible to achieve. The Smyrna School District employees are doing their very best to follow their standards, but when dealing with children, this is not always the case. And I do hope that each of you can acknowledge that. Your employees are struggling to meet their standards daily on top of their other educational responsibilities. Placing additional students into classrooms that exceeds the guidelines simply cannot be permitted to happen this year, especially with the outbreaks on the rise. We are being told that by passing this waiver that nothing will change, yet historically this has not been the case. Each time that the waiver has been approved in the past, our K to three class sizes went up. Please do what is right for our district and vote no to this waiver. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Sweeney, if you could, are there any other additional individuals who wish to speak for public comment?
There was one person, but they wanted to ask a question. I informed them that this is not a question and answer period.
Correct. If that individual would like to speak during public comment, we can certainly unmute your microphone and turn your camera on, and you're welcome to speak to us. Okay, if there are no others, then we will move on. Mr. Sweeney, can you confirm that there are no other individuals here signed up?
I'm checking. There is nobody else. I asked the questioner if they wanted to speak anyway, and they have not responded at this time.
Okay, thank you. All right, then we will continue to six, new business, the approval of the class size waiver. Judy, I believe you have some information for us.
I do. Thank you, Madam President. So I just wanted to let you know that and the public know that there are actually two waivers that we can ask for each year. The first waiver is to waive the requirement to staff all of our schools at 90% of the units that they earned. We are beyond staffing our schools at 98% of the units that they earned after our unit count. We are at least staffing schools at 0.9, almost a whole unit above the 98%, and are staffing one particular elementary school at 7.4 units above the units that they earned. The range of units over the 98% is 0.9 to 2 to 2.3, to 2.5, to 3.4, to 5.1, to 5.5, and to 7.4. We've not asked for this waiver in many years, if ever. I know I've never requested the vote, and we are not asking for this evening, during the pandemic, when many resources are scarce.
Ms. Judy, if I can interrupt you, you said there's one elementary school unit that's 7.4 units, which
yes, there is one elementary school that is 7.4 units above the 98% of units that they earned, and that is Smyrna Elementary. All right, so let's move on to the waiver that we are requesting, class size waiver. And this is one that we've requested many times. I know I've requested it each year. On October 30th, we're required to take a snapshot of the number of students in all K to three classes. We have 14 classes out of 80 requiring the waiver. In two instances, a class size over 22, at two different elementary schools, the principal offered solutions to create classes under 22, which included separating a TAN team and creating a team approach to classes to equalize numbers. In both cases, the teachers declined. So what could we do to get the classes under 22? Well, we could move a fourth grade teacher to a K to three class and distribute the fourth grade teacher students to the other classes because they do not require the 22 students in their classroom at a max. We could separate TAM teachers into two different classes. The teacher certified in special education would most likely take all of the special education students unless both are duly certified. We don't like to do that because it causes inequities amongst our staff, and we do have some staff that are veteran staff that are not duly certified, and we know that that extra work that is done by those special education teachers is time consuming at times, so we like to share that load if at all possible. We could add students to TAM classrooms. So we have a pretty low student to teacher ratio in those TAM classes, and they can hold up to 44 students, but that certainly would not make any sense because having the two teachers is to support our most needy students. We could voluntary or involuntary transfer teachers from the overstaffed elementary school to the others. That would lower the staff to student ratio in the other three elementary schools. We could voluntary or involuntary transfer teachers from the intermediate schools to the elementary schools in the K-3 classes and distribute those students left with no teacher at the intermediate school to the other intermediate school teachers. So, what will happen if the waiver passes? I know it's been stated that students were put into the classrooms of K-3 once the waiver is passed. I don't know where those students are coming from because our students come and we place them, but we don't have them in sort of a holding area waiting for the waiver to be passed to then add them to classes. That doesn't happen. Students come and go and ebb and flow as they do always, and we have little to no control over them. But we certainly try to be equitable about who gets new students and where they go based on the needs that they have. So as of right now, what will happen if the waiver passes? Nothing will happen. Class size will stay the same size as it is right now. Unless we get a student who enrolls, unless we get a student who unenrolls, and we'll have to deal with those as they come. So, because of none of the solutions that I've given to satisfying that 22 class size for the K-3 classes, without creating a situation that is not good for staff or students across many schools in the district, the administration proposes and requests you pass the class size waiver for the 2020-21 school year. Thank you.
Just so I'm clear, we're asking for the waiver for the 14 classes.
Yes.
Out of the 80 classes.
Out of the 80.
That
yes.
are over the 22 limit.
Yep.
And then if we have new students come in, we look at teachers, numbers of students in those classes, and we try to evenly distribute.
Yes.
We don't have kids waiting to then load 5, 10 more in a hybrid setting.
No.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about how this works with the spacing that's required because or recommended for COVID
sure.
in our in-person classes and how that is impacted if based on the students who are there now? Because as you said, those numbers wouldn't change unless we have a student.
Right. And so each classroom is different and they have their own size and the way it's structured. And I know the principals and the custodial staff did their best to kind of create a floor plan that works the best and keeps the kids spaced as far apart as they can. I will tell you that we are one of the only districts who has gone above and beyond the guidance of DPH and are maintaining a 6-foot distance between students rather than the 3-foot distance that is in the recommendations. And, you know, I can cite Appoquinimink and Cape Henlopen. I know both definitively are at a 3-foot distance between students facing one way. We currently are at a 6-foot distance. We would like to maintain that and we plan to maintain that. And then we can reconfigure things as needed. But again, we have no holding tank of students waiting to enroll. There is going to be no change unless students enroll or unenroll. We have quite an ebb and a flow of students wanting to go hybrid to virtual, and it's quite even, and the numbers have been stable. We do have students who had elected to be virtual in the beginning of the school year at the high school and the middle school level who are now changing their minds because it is challenging working on your own and without having that face-to-face time with the teacher. So the middle and high school have seen an increase in students wanting to be hybrid.
And I'm also under the assumption that they're having to make the accommodations for having the hybrid teachers, and then the virtual only has caused an issue with
absolutely. So in one case, you know, we have, this is always the problem. We have, you know, a high number of virtual students in a kindergarten set up. So they, you know, we don't have enough to make two classes, but we don't have enough to make a class of 22. So many accommodations have been made, including having specialists in the building, having part-time paraprofessionals, having instructional paraprofessionals, support, adult support coming into the classroom, or Zooming, doing small group, doing support for those teachers to kind of give them reprieve, doing assessments with their kids, getting some goal data for them for their IEPs. So that has been something that I've been working with the principals on for the entirety of this year, because it's what's best for our kids and it's what's best for our staff.
And sorry, I'm just trying to, we received, several of us received emails, and so I'm just, you know, trying to make sure that I've asked a number of them here publicly. Another question, how does this compare to years past? You know, obviously we have approved the waiver in years past, and so just wondering percentage of numbers myself.
So I don't have the exact percentage of last year, but I know we had about 20 classrooms that needed to have the waiver. And that would be, you know, 25% of our classrooms. This year we're at 17.5%.
We're actually lower than we would have been.
I also have given all of you the breakdown of the hybrid classes, H1 and H2. So you can see on the Clayton Intermediate page, Clayton Elementary page, it's embedded in the data sheet and the unit count sheet. And this is something that the principals and I talk about weekly. So it's not, you know, that things are going on in the school and the district level administration are not understanding or directly involved in how we assign staff to different classrooms. So the principals and I discuss those types of things often. Clayton Elementary has it embedded into the sheet, so you can see what the H1s and H2s look like. And then a couple of them have the data on the back of the sheet because it's just in a larger format. But we're looking at hybrid numbers. I think the highest hybrid number for one class is 14, and that's a TAN class. Most classes are hovering around the 9, 10, 11 in each of the hybrids. So the larger class that the teacher of record is responsible for is broken, you know, most likely in half, if at all possible, to keep the numbers even and make sure that those students get as much one-to-one attention as they can in those 2 days that they're.
And Madam President, I would just like to add, in looking at those numbers, the average, you know, 9, 10, 11, there are also classes where the numbers are smaller. There are a few where the numbers are larger. But I would like to mention that on a monthly basis, I meet with a teacher leader group representative from all of the schools in the district. And one of our topics of conversation as we meet and get feedback from folks in their schools up and down their hall is how has this hybrid impacted them? And we can hear a lot of negatives. I think I heard about 10 or 11 negatives in the public comment. I don't see a positive, so I will offer one. The positive that they shared with me, and many of them reinforced, is that due to the incredibly small numbers of students physically in their classroom, in the cohorts, they have been able to individualize and differentiate instruction like they never were able to. And many of them were brought to tears in saying that that has been such a relief. And if we have to say there's a positive that's come out of this unfortunate episode we've all experienced, it is that having those small classes, especially with the little ones in the K-3 environment, that has reinforced and reaffirmed their commitment to education. So overwhelmingly positive feedback I have received from the teacher leaders who represent their constituents in the
And I will note too that there were
messages that I received and I'm sure other board members received who understood that this is a district where we try and do as best we can. I've said it before and I'll say it again, seeing how this is dealt with across other districts. I'm thankful that the process is so open. Thank you, Ms. Judy, for providing this, all of this data, because it really does help us to see how everything is distributed and address individual concerns. I did just want to ask, make sure Reverend McClellan, if you give us a wave, you can hear us okay. There you go. We've got folks who can hear us. Okay, just wanted to make sure.
This again is nothing that I don't do every year. So this data is something that we look at, you know, frequently. We attempt to make the best judgments we can for our kids. And having been an elementary school principal, you have to look at the needs of the students in the class, the teacher that is working with them. It's all very personalized, and that's how we want it to remain. So I understand, you know, what the dynamics are in these classes and why the principals have done what they've done. And I think it makes a lot of sense if we're able to give that explanation and talk about it. I know that the teachers have had a hard time with doing the online, you know, change from a standard instructional model to online. But in every liaison meeting we've had, I've urged the union membership to talk to their people and to ask them to collaborate with each other. There are models in our schools where grade levels are working together and creating lessons. And those lessons are, it takes a lot of pressure off of the teachers to work together to create lessons for a week, to share items, to one teacher does the math for the week, one teacher does the reading. You know, we have been home at 5 this year, but it quote doesn't count according to the state. So use this opportunity to build this bank of lessons and have your teacher partners and department member friends like work together to make it all happen, because we don't expect each person to rewrite an entire curriculum on their own.
And I think just one more closing thought, you know, looking at if the principals have already gone to teachers to say, would you be willing to do this? Teachers have declined. I know that, you know, if to get those classes under 22, there's a lot of shifting moving around of kids who are already going through a lot of shift and change. You know, so not wanting to upend that part as well, I think is really something that we've heard from parents and their children.
Our goal is to keep things as stable as possible. As always, but especially.
And looking at the numbers and the data as well, it looks like there's just a pocket of kids kind of in each grade where you just have more students in second grade. Right, so you have 104 students, you break that out into, you know, 3 or 4 classes, mm-hmm. and you're just 1 or 2 over.
Yes.
And you don't have, the state does not give us a 5th teacher for that because we're over 22. And so I definitely want to make that point as well.
Yeah, that's not how we earn units. And we are currently not receiving units for any K-3 special education students, unless, you know, basic students. We receive the intensive complex units, but we don't, and those students require a smaller student to teacher ratio, which is why we might overload those camps, because we do not want those students to not get the specialized instruction that they require for their IEPs. So, you know, as Jerry will attest from years ago, they changed the ratio the number of students per unit for regular ed students to try to address that and give a little buffer for special education students in K-3. I do know that the lawsuit that was just worked out and settled between the ACLU and the governor they will be providing K-3 units for basic students in the coming years. So we look forward to that. We look forward to that, and you know, there's a possibility that we will not need the paper when we meet again next year, this time. And that would be wonderful. That is something we strive to be able to.
The only other point is just to clarify too, as far as a TAM, TAM is a regular student teacher and a special education teacher, and so we have two full-time teachers. We could put up 44 students in that class.
Yeah.
But our numbers in those TAM situations, I think the highest one I see is 26. But the virtual is a 14 and a 12. And not virtual, I'm sorry, hybrid.
The hybrid. Yeah, that was the high hybrid.
Yeah, Scott, do you have any questions or comments?
No.
All right, I make a motion to approve the class size waiver as submitted by the administration. Motion by Ms. Lloyd and a second by Ms. Mallett to approve the waiver as presented by the administration. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
We'll need a roll call. Ms. Lloyd, how do you vote?
Yes.
I am an aye. Ms. Mallett?
Aye.
Sevens?
Aye.
Cannot. Mr.
McCall?
Okay, thank you very much, everyone. With that, that is the only other item on the agenda. So, with no other business, I declare that this meeting is adjourned. Mr. Sweet, we need to, is it still the same meeting information, or do we need to like kick everybody out and start all over again?
It's still the same meeting.
Well, I will call the work session of the November 18th, 2020 school board meeting to order. Just a few notes again, the meeting is being recorded. We have members of the board and administrative staff who are here with us. We felt strongly that as we have our teachers and administrators back here in the building, that we should be as well physically distanced, masked, and with hand sanitizers. Our Zoom license only allows for 500 participants, but the meeting minutes and audio recording will be available on the district website.
Cameras and microphones are turned off for all participants. The chat feature is turned on. However, participants can only chat with the host in order to sign up for public comment. If you are interested in speaking during the public comment portion, you must provide your full name and topic that you wish to address in the chat prior to the start of public comment. Please know that if you're signing up for public comment, you'll be asked to share both your audio and video. The chat will be turned off after the public comment portion begins. Entertain a motion to move into executive session. A motion by Ms. Malik and a second by Ms. Evans to move into an executive session. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We will be back. The official meeting begins at 7:00.
Let's stop.
Okay. It is currently 7:19. I'd like to call the November 18th, 2020 regular meeting of the Smyrna School Board to order. Just a few reminders, this meeting is being recorded and the Zoom license only allows 5 minutes of participants of the meeting in minutes. An audio recording will be available on the district website. Cameras and microphones are turned off for participants and the chat feature is turned on. However, participants can only chat with the host in order to sign up for public comment. If you're interested in speaking during the public comment portion, you must provide your full name and topic that you wish to address in the chat prior to the start of public comment. Please know that if you're signing up for public comment, then you'll be asked to share both your audio and video. The chat will be turned off after the public comment portion begins. Start with the Pledge of Allegiance and movement of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. No special recognitions. Any changes to the agenda?
There are none.
Okay, then we move on to item 7, reports of updates, starting with the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Madam President. So first of all, it's American Education Week this week. Fantastic time to celebrate all of the efforts of every educator. Every educator is anyone who works with students at any given point or works in the school or does anything in the district to benefit students' education. So we're celebrating that this week, and maybe more than any other time in my career, this speaks to the level of effort and dedication and enthusiasm that everyone in the Smyrna School District has invested for our students, particularly since that day, Friday, March 13th, when our educational world changed forever. So to that end, we've invited anyone who works in the school system to have a lunch. Tomorrow's the great big spread, right, for Thanksgiving. They don't have to do it on Thanksgiving, but many will. And that's a little way, a token of our appreciation for all of the work. Second item is to again celebrate this week marked the hybrid return of Smyrna Middle School students, 7th and 8th grade. So on Monday, Tuesday, Smyrna Middle School welcomed back about 330 students. And tomorrow and Friday, another 300. So 630 students have chosen the hybrid model. And as it has been in each of the other 6 schools, it has been a phenomenal experience to see those students get off the buses, to get out of the cars, to walk up to the doors, and have the staff welcome them. And I think in many ways, the staff are as excited or maybe even more so than the 7th and 8th graders coming to the door. So we're very, very excited. Of course, as we continue the hybrid model, next week is parent conferences K-8. But then on Monday the 30th, we round out the hybrid experience and we welcome back the high school students. It's been a long time coming. And as we heard from our governor this week, The additional restrictions in the state of Delaware are all in an attempt to fully the hybrid instruction for all 19 districts and charters and private schools, so that all of us big people out in the real world do everything we can to keep the doors open. And we've been very excited. We've had wonderful results. It's an incredibly healthy and safe place to be. And I know some of the other reports will reinforce that message for you. Another great piece of news. I know Mr. Gallagher will elaborate on this in a bit, but we received a formal notification that the certificate of necessity that we submitted for our district growth plan was approved. And when I say it was approved, I mean it was approved. And just broad strokes, right? It took 3 years for us, but we're very, very appreciative of the work of our team and all of the folks at the state level who invested energy in agreeing with us that, first of all, for fiscal year 22, approval of purchase of parcel of land. Of course, the one that we designated is directly across from Sunnyside. So at some point in the not too distant future, how awesome it will be for K to three students to be on one side of Rabbit Chase, and for 4 or 5, they will go to the new as yet unnamed school to continue their intermediate education. So FY22 is for the land, fiscal year 23 for the actual school itself to begin the planning process. Catch me if I'm wrong, Mr. Gallagher. Again, I'm getting broad strokes. Am I good so far?
So far, so
all right, so far, so good. I'm not digging too deeply on this. And then fiscal year 24, we have approval to pursue the CIS expansion and the North Smyrna addition. And that is part of our, really, our 10-year growth plan. Of course, it's been interrupted somewhat, as just about every educational system has been since March 13th. But finally given a direction, and now the real work begins. So great news, and Mr. Gallagher can fill us in later on the details. Another piece, see, I cherry pick. I took all the good stuff. We received word that the first annual Sapphire Award for Excellence in School Counseling was awarded to Smyrna High School. And under normal circumstances, we would have the following department members here with us to receive our commendations. We have Ashley Caro, Tiffany Duke, Ron Gurdon, James Tiger, Lavita Moffitt, Jen Wagner, the chair, Sarah Black, the registrar, and of course, Brent Solomon, the admin assistant. But they work tremendously hard for students, particularly at this juncture. And this is the first ever. So in the annals of Delaware publication or Delaware public school history, the very first Sapphire Award designated to Smyrna High School. Stacey, did you want to say anything about that? I just gave
you. Well, is that my presentation late?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Details to follow. And the last item I have, of course, we had announced, given all of the restrictions most recently, as I mentioned, the increased restrictions so that we can keep students in school, announced by the governor this week, we know that we can't run a traditional ILEP summer school district. I think we'll certainly have more than 50 students, 50 people indoors if we were to attempt that. Our cabinet, and that's the folks you see seated around you here, we came together, and I know Jeff Judy initiated the idea, so we give her props. It's a tremendous idea.
Oh, I get a good thing.
You get a great thing. It's an awesome idea because we love kids, and we want to do everything we can to celebrate them, especially during difficult times. To create a virtual I Love Smyrna Students Day so that we'll work with the schools and they can do recordings, they can videos, so once we get everybody back in a hybrid model, and then we will package them together in a way that can celebrate the efforts of all of our students, pre-K to grade 12, in a non-traditional way, but still nonetheless celebrate. So more about that as we flesh it out, but that will replace our traditional I Love Smyrna School District Day to celebrate all students and staff throughout the district. So special thanks to Deb, the entire team up here for coming up with that idea. skeleton of that together. And that's the superintendent's report.
Great, thank you very much. Mr. Holt, operations.
All right. As Mr. Leo said, here we are in November, mid-November still, celebrating the back-to-school preparations. Many, many back-to-school events going on, 8 and 3, 4, 6, 7 to 8 this week, soon to be 9 to 12. So we're continuing to engage in activities and ensure the safe and secure return to school. One of the things that I wanted to do tonight was to kind of give the board an update of where we are with our COVID-19 preparedness and making sure that we're on the safe and secure environment. School district, and then kind of go into some of the individual updates, highlights for our operational areas. So as far as HVAC, there's a lot of concerns still in the media that we see going around, questions about what's being done to ensure that the environment within the building is safe and secure. So all of our preventative maintenance for our HVAC equipment is up to date at this time. And our schedule is actually more aggressive than what it was prior to launch. We're monitoring our filters aggressively. We're doing more frequent checks on our equipment. We've actually purchased a remote control HEPA duct cleaning piece of equipment to get into the portals and into the dumps to ensure that they're in good order and clean. And make sure that those items are operating. All the HVAC equipment is running as designed, so the equipment is doing what it's supposed to do. We're continuing to bring in additional fresh air as we guide ASHRAE and CDC. As I said, the filters are being monitored and changed with increased frequency. We purchased additional electrostatic to clean and sanitize areas. One of the big things that's, I guess, a hot button right now, we're seeing a whole lot of, it's a big headline in NSM today, was personal protective equipment. That's a huge concern with all frontline workers and school environments. Really, one of the things that I wanted to take in this position is to make sure that we're in a good position as far as the volume. So going back to our operations planning that we did, it's identified what are some of the needs that we want to ensure all areas have. Also recognize some of our specialized classrooms are going to be more specifically. Things like gloves, masks, we identified that we need all the sorts of equipment. We also wanted to have a communicator style mask, which is a usable mask, but it has a clear opening so that our elementary school teachers so it's for students, as well as we can have those available for students with special needs for students that are part of here. Having hand sanitizer available, goggles with face shields, gowns, bonnets, and then that all depends on what the environment is, what level of inventory-wise, our classrooms are stocked right now, and our backlog inventory we actually have available to pull from. Right now we have 337,000 pairs of gloves. So we're well stocked in gloves. A lot of school districts are now struggling with supply. That's something we were way ahead of, so we have to get the supply. Adult masks, like I'm wearing right now, we have over 62,000 available in schools. Pediatric size masks, we have over 34,000 of those available for the students. Hand sanitizer, we're over 500 gallons available in schools. Each of those gallons can actually provide 9,000 sprays over 10,000 bonds, over 2,200 face shields, over 4,800 gallons, and the E23, the EPA approved germicide agent that we use, we have the ability to make over 4,800 gallons, purchase it, concentrate, mix it with water, and then use that for sprayers and rings. We're working with all of our contractors to ensure suppliers to make sure that we do have good access to our equipment and those materials available. Those relationships have been successful so far. Our teachers and nursing staff and administrators put together some great trainings for the staff, students in the school district, and probably have seen some of those videos on our website. That's something job and something folks, especially students come out where that's from. Seems to be a lot of fun to watch. Our response time to rebuild and reallocate resources has been pretty much by any members of concern. The custodians get about that, and we rebuild as so it's been a very quick rebuild. As I said, sanitation wise, we're still using that EPA approved silo, that agent. It's a very, I would say, cost effective solution for the school district, and we have an ample supply. The staff is doing a wonderful job of keeping this high touch services clean every 15 minutes to 2 hours. And from my direct observations and a lot of feedback I've gotten from teachers, from facilities, and from administrators, we've done a wonderful job with our staff and students as far as wearing masks, staying socially distanced. And we feel like we're providing a wonderful, safe environment for our students and our teachers to work. So back to our independent operational area reports. I kind of touched on a lot of stuff with buildings and grounds, but the JVM library, we've been working on a project there to update the library with the LED lighting. So that's been completed. The grant update, those LED lights for the Smyrna Middle and Smyrna High parking lot have been ordered and continuing to get ready for winter with our snow removal equipment getting prepared. Technology, so we received the final shipment of the Chromebooks that we had ordered. We had ordered 1,500, so we got the final shipment of that, and so those are in stock now. All of our student needs for devices have been met. And the focus from technology is now shifted towards rebuilding some of the Chromebook parts that we had to defeat in order to provide devices for students. Other technology orders are starting to arrive now, such as the projectors and video devices, and those are going to be used to replace some of those devices that have been damaged or broken from the top. We do have an outdoor wireless device network that's being established at some of our schools. This is going to allow a safe location for students with connectivity issues. They can actually go to the school sites and connect wirelessly. That network is almost up and running. So we're looking, I believe, Jody, about a week or so.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to go? The district website is nearly complete and it's going to be converted over winter break. Our building level webmasters are going to receive training early December. Our school nurses are using iPhone 11 devices now to be able to download apps so that they can connect to our diabetic students that have the Dexcom devices so they can get real-time updates and alerts of blood sugar levels that fluctuate for the students. And a big thing for technology, Rob Bayless has been working tirelessly with Shannon Mondo and transportation to be able to build our bus route to pedal. A lot of changes, a lot of dynamic situations. As far as transportation, the contractors are still supporting child nutrition programs on Wednesdays with food deliveries. They're helping us to get out into 10 different neighborhoods to be able to provide food out in the community. The return of the middle school, as I said, students it went very well. Mrs. Armando wanted to make sure that Mrs. Smeltzer with her staff at Smyrna Middle was recognized for their hard work and effort. And Sharon is working closely with their administrators and families to accommodate transportation needs and requests to ensure a successful start for our high school students. Child nutrition has been very busy. On November 11th and today, Child Nutrition collaborated with Valerie Forbes, who's the council person with the town of Smyrna, to provide over 1,100 USDA farm and family food boxes to our Smyrna family at each of those events, 1,100 last week, 1,100 today. We have an additional date planned for Wednesday, December 2nd at the high school. That's going to be an afternoon event, actually an evening event. We've been feeding our students K-8 in the hybrid format. That's going very well, and we're making plans for a start of our 9 to 12 students in a hybrid. Approximately 60,000 of our curbside meals have been served in the past 3 weeks. And that, like I said, that's at our curbside grab and go site. So we've been very busy with meeting the community with regards to child nutrition program. Our school climate and safety supervisors have been working on emergency plans for the district. creating internal take care of Delaware notices and processes, creating restorative practices, or actually has a restorative practices trained and trainer scheduled for January 2020. It's virtual. Providing or continuously creating SEL lessons for a monthly calendar and daily activities for teachers to use district wide, and working on a virtual field trip calendar. So lots of stuff going on.
Great. Thank you.
Good.
I do want to say we did receive a DSEA letter about concerns about PPE, so I appreciate all the numbers and the stockpile and availability. That doesn't seem to be an issue here, and so thank you for your forward thinking months ago to make sure that we have that available to all of our staff.
And the net audience is we're being evicted. We've been using that as our central storage area. That quantity of product takes up quite a bit of space. So we're going to be redistributing that stuff throughout the district. So we have worked very hard to make sure that we have supply on hand.
Even the variety of masks. So I appreciate that. You know, my sister is deaf, and so the masks is very hard for her to be able to read lips. And so I do appreciate even, you know, thinking of all of our students in that regard. So thank you.
It was a wonderful, we had all of our committees work together to establish what our needs were and to create that diversity of equipment for something. And Rachel was very passionate about to make sure that we had that supply in-house. So we worked with all of our committee members to make sure that we were addressing every area that we could think of. And there's obviously areas where we'll probably find things that we need to enhance, so we're improved upon. But like we always say, we're meeting better, moving better. So we're continuing to review and make sure that what we have and what we're doing is the best we can for our students and our staff.
That I appreciate, because a lot of this stuff is, you know, when people think about how we educate our students, even, you know, virtually and hybrid, they're not, they don't really see the invisible work that goes into supporting all of that. And so thank you for bringing visibility to, you know, transportation, child nutrition, school climate, technology, as well as, you know, our building and ground staff. So I just want to say thank you.
Absolutely.
Curriculum.
As today our report cards go out, we will have our conferences next week for our K-8 students. We are continuing working with our teachers. We are rolling out ARC this year, so we had coaching days last week where Helen worked with each of the staff so that the schools had each a full day. We have an in-service day scheduled for this Friday, the 20th. And we are doing some subject level reflection for our elementary. Our science have started new kits. So, you know, some reflection on what we're doing and if, you know, are we in the right direction? Because we had left the coalition for that. ELA, of course, is the ARC, it's new. And so teachers are digging into that. Social studies, we will be looking at economics and New Zella. And bridges into their lessons and what they're doing. So with each of the specialists, they're working with a couple of grades that day. And then, of course, we are giving our teachers some prep time and some time to prep for their conferences coming up. We have met with our STEP teachers. So STEP will be kicking off in December for fifth and sixth grade. And third and fourth grade will be starting in January, and that will be an after-school model, and it will be a combination of virtual and hybrid depending on the students in their group. So each group might look a little different, but we talked to the teachers about different ways that they could do that. And the other thing I have is the calendar, but we'll wait for that.
The living dog.
Never ending story.
Fun. Yeah.
Song about that.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Dr. Rudolph.
Yeah, so I'm sure I'm not the only one who'll be talking about unit count, but I appreciate what you were saying, Steve, about all the work that goes behind the scenes, right? So Crystal Sweeney and Bernadette Filman and Krista Stevens, they were tirelessly to try to make sure that we had every student in the system and that we were able to count those students, because it was it's just so important. But in addition, we had all the building administrators really making sure that our students were actually engaged and here, and so that it's not just having a student enrolled, it's also having them be able to count it because they're engaged, and this year is a little, that engagement is different. And so we feel like that went, that was very successful. In addition to that, we, in order to count students who are identified with special needs, you have to make sure everything is up to date. And as you can imagine, things were really not up to date because we believe that you not only want to make sure that you're following the, you know, the documents and all that, but you're doing it in a way that is truly effective. So we, our school psychologists, started seeing students in person from the day that we all returned. And in doing that, they evaluated 127 students in basically 2 months' time, which is a huge number. And our speech language pathologists were evaluated 90 in that amount of time. So there were a lot of evaluations, a lot going on. And then in a little bit, I'm going to talk about some of the evaluations that the teachers were doing to really get things up to date. But I'm really proud of that. So Thanksgiving is coming. Like, how did it, it just seems so crazy that all of a sudden it's here. One of the concerns that I had was, you know, Thanksgiving here in Smyrna, in Clayton, in this community, there used to be a very, there is every year this huge Thanksgiving celebration where the community can come together and have Thanksgiving. And we haven't received details as far as if those, if meals were going to get distributed out instead, if something else was going to happen, but we wanted to make sure that we continue to support our families that may struggle to have it. So we are currently, and it changes every day as it gets closer, we have 85 families that will be supporting for Thanksgiving. They get big baskets filled with everything that they would need. And believe it or not, there are 15 sponsors who are supporting those 85 families. So we have, so some of them are individuals, some of them are businesses, organizations, which is an amazing undertaking. And we'll make sure next week that all this delivered out to them. Other things about supporting students. So Katie Diggs worked to make sure that all of our students who are identified kindergarten to fifth grade have a math goal, that math means, were given math minutes so that because that they could take home and use, right? Because even if you're here hybrid, you have days that you're working at home, and then what do you do to actually try to gain? So we were very excited about these kits being put together and made and delivered. We also have been providing some additional reading supplement materials because there's a lot that they can get online through ARC, but some of our students needed those physical books. And so we've been making sure that those materials are coming out. So as I mentioned with evaluations, our teachers have been working in specialists to try to gather some meaningful data on where are our students. So we evaluated 4th through 9th grade students that have reading needs with the reading inventory. And we took a look at all of the students who we evaluated last year and what their score was before we went home, and then what their score was in the fall. Because we're really, you know, we were concerned. What are the students losing? What were they able to gain through any of our supports? And we're very pleased with where we are now. So for 4th grade, 56% of the 4th graders showed growth. 5th and 6th grade, 51% of them showed growth. For 7th and 8th grade, 63% of the students showed growth.
And then for ninth grade, 76% admission. So our teachers are working hard to make sure that they are continuing to provide these supports. What I'm so excited about that is to think, we just started, right? So where are we going to be in the next benchmark come later winter time? Where will we be? I'm very excited to see that those numbers. And then just to provide some narrative comments, today, once again, was a special ed teacher council, which we have monthly, and we always, you know, talk about what are some positives you want to share, and, you know, what are some challenges. And every building had positives they wanted to share, but not all even had any challenges. They were saying, you know, we're working through this. So, but those positives over and over again was, we are so happy to be here in person. We are so happy to have our kids in the building. We feel like we are able to get that real data to see where they really are. And they love working in the smaller cohorts. They're like, wow, we love these class sizes that we're getting to work with. And the high school said, we just can't wait for the kids to get here. Like, you know, so you're all telling us. And so it was funny because your representative specifically asked the middle school, so what was it like? We're really anxious. We've heard lots of good things, like the kids were all wearing their masks, we were so happy to see them, and, you know, so it was really fun. So it was a very good, a feel-good way to end the afternoon.
Thank you very much. I was actually wondering about the Thanksgiving plan, so that's lovely to hear it. I know that so many members of our community really rely on that, and it's one of those things that Smyrna does.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Okay, Finance Department, Mr. Gallagher.
Oh, Hunter.
Yeah.
And then my glasses steam up, and I still won't be able to see. Just a couple things to kind of whet your appetite for what you'll be hearing and seeing in the club meetings. As Mr. Williams mentioned in his report, we were approved for our certificate of necessity for four projects. The other projects, which were basically maintenance and renovations to basic balance of our schools, for the most part, was not able to be supported this go round. But we were happy that even though some of these projects may not be funded for a year or two down the road, that it will allow us to present our comprehensive plan to the community and be able to go out at one time to solicit their support for the entire project. So we are thankful of that, even though, again, we are looking at several years before some of this will actually start to break ground. We did contact Kent County Department of Elections because one of the things we're looking to do next month is to schedule the referendum date. Typically, we would hold it on I Love Day in February on a Saturday. This year, we can't vote virtually. So we have requested February 23rd, which is a Tuesday, that week for that referendum. Kent County Department of Elections was fine with that. So they are aware that we are discussing that tonight and that we will be bringing that to the board in December for approval. In addition, in December, we'll also be coming with a sample ballot for you. We should have at that point our signed certificate of necessity. We have received the draft. I did ask for a couple of modifications that hopefully we'll be seeing that turn around shortly. I will say one of the other things we'll be considering in addition to the major capital renovation is like look at a potential operating referendum. As we know, the last several years we've been dealing with over $1 million each year in state budget reductions. And in addition, with a new school, in addition to new schools, that also means that the cost of operating the buildings are going to have to go up. So we're going to look at that as well. So we'll probably be coming with multiple proposals for you for both operating as well as construction. On enrollment, a little bit of an update. We don't expect that enrollment will be certified by the State Board in December this year. I will still refer to it as the September 30th, November 13th. And that created a lot of wrinkles both at the state level in terms of their the program and some of the systemic changes that we had to work around. Again, we internally, Crystal Sweeney's handling the unit camp for the first time. She did a great job. All the support from standing special services in all buildings. Preliminary numbers, there were four districts that saw increases in running enrollment this year, and we were one of them. And I would emphasize one because our enrollment was up one student. We also saw a growth in our units. That this is a big concern in many districts because most districts were seeing decreases in enrollment. Statewide, districts and charter schools saw decreases of well over 2,000 students from last year to this year. So that has been a concern in a lot of districts, and a lot of districts when these estimates and guarantees are not even going to hit what their guarantee was. So there's a lot of concern still going on in the state in terms of what do we do in terms of supporting not just the units, the teaching units, but what does that mean for building level administrative staff? What does that mean for related services staff? What does that mean for academic excellence and a whole laundry list? Those no answers, those discussions are ongoing. We did learn last week that child nutrition will be supported by the state based on last year's meal counts and student counts that are done every October, which is a big for child nutrition programs throughout the state. So we're hoping that something along that line will materialize for some of these other areas, but it's just too early to tell at this point. And as a result of that, typically I come in December with our final budget for the year. Do not expect that in December. I would hope that in January we'll have that information and present that to you. So that we'll have some more information as the weeks come to pass. The other thing, which is on your agenda for tonight, we did have bids for the architect and engineer for the renovations at North Smyrna Elementary School last February in our referendum. We had a group of seven reviewed, and we had five vendors who were submitted proposals. We screened all of them, had all five in to give virtual oral presentations. And later this evening, we will be asking for approval to negotiations with one of those firms. And if you're interested, I did bring the proposals, so if you wanted to look through them or we can just give you a recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Now the principal's report. Mrs. Cook is joining us from the high school.
Hi, thank you for some time tonight. I'm just going to help you by bringing a slideshow up. You can go to the first. So I want to start with, sorry to mention once, but it's worth mentioning again, is one of the first things we're here and I'm pretty very forward and so excited for is to go up and get our chance at hybrid instruction for our students. Just to show you some numbers, and this is updated as of yesterday. Yesterday morning, I did make some changes yesterday afternoon, so it's not exactly correct, but to give you an idea, our cohorts, the Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday cohort, divided out very nicely, both at about 28% of our current student population, looking at a total of about 470 kids in each group. And then our virtual population is at about 44%. And then total students, as you can see, we are up, maybe the one extra we got is that up from last year. And again, just excited about all the work that's going into getting ready for this to happen. from a team member, from the maintenance staff, custodial staff, technology staff, our teachers, our office staff. True team effort to get ready to bring almost 500 babies into the school. So we're really excited about that.
Thanks. Just a little shout out too about our fall sports. Also very proud of our team effort that we went to really starting back in the summer when we were finally able to get approval to do our summer BFS program. And Amy and Nikki and Phil Schultz and Leon Clark work closely together with Mrs. Judy to make sure we have a plan in place to be able to do that safely for our students. And then that was a seamless transition into our fall sports. Because we already had all those practices in place for how to be able to check the athletes in here, verify that they're going to be safe around each other, keep their 6 foot space and wear their masks. They were just used to all of that in the summer. So this is just happens to be a picture of our field hockey team. You can see them spaced out in their 6 foot long cones. We don't even have to tell them. They know the drill. They see them. They come in, they check, and they go on to practice. And it's been wonderful. Safe. Allow our kids to do the sport that they love. And then also, just the last item on that slide is also able to allow spectators to come to our events. That was a big piece for us as well. Lots of planning went into that, submitting plans to the PH to make sure that we can do that safely also, and we've been able to do that. And one of the big features in both the student aspect and the spectator aspect that has worked really well for us is the use of QR codes. And that was the brainstorm of Amy and Nikki and the kids. And they just scan the codes and get their data quickly into a spreadsheet, and it allows us to keep track of everybody and every space in case we need that information. But that's worked really nicely for our spectators as well. Okay, for the next one. We were able to pull off adding in a new pathway this year, given all the other circumstances that happened. So we're super proud about that, our culinary pathway. That came from lots of interest from our students, lots of them interested in pursuing a career in culinary arts or even just learning more about So the picture on your left is showing you the classroom. This classroom is alongside our main gymnasium. It used to be our SBIP classroom until we remodeled it into the culinary classroom. So we've purchased special tables and stools there to be able to sit two kids per table, once they get out of COVID reasons. And then what you see hanging overhead is electrical access for each student workstation so that they can, at each station, have access to electric to be able to work with small appliances under the direction of your teacher as she's modeling it at the front of the room. So next time you're in this school, if you haven't had a chance to pop in and see this classroom, it's pretty impressive. We took some space out of the neighboring storage room to be able to have some extra storage for the students' belongings so that they weren't in the room, the way of them moving around and doing their things with cooking. And then the picture on the right is our concession stand at the main gym, currently under construction. Obviously, we're not using this as a concession stand right now, so it works out pretty well that we're trying to do construction in there. What you see is where the wall used to be that separated the concession stand and the storage closet. By taking that wall out, it allowed us to make a much bigger space. And this is going to serve as the kitchen part to the culinary classroom. And they're obviously right around the corner from each other, from the classroom to the concession stand area. It will still serve as a concession stand if we needed to, but it also will double as our area for cooking for our culinary students. So we hope to have that up and running by next school year. The second level of the courses in that pathway will begin. And then the last item I noted on here is that we do have 6 full sessions in this pathway, 3 of the level 1 course and 3 of what we were able to offer as an elective course this year. All of those are maxed out at their 25 student capacity, so we are fully serving 150 students in this pathway already in this first year. So that's pretty exciting. Okay. Our staff professional development, as Mrs. Holt mentioned on Friday, we do have a special piece planned for our high school staff. Over the summer, my administrative team selected the book Culture, Class, and Race, Constructive Conversations That Unite and Energize Your School and Community. What you see in this picture is Mr. Davis leading the charge as we went around and delivered it to the classroom so that each teacher had their copy at the beginning of the year. And of course, we asked each staff member to read the book.
But in addition to that, as departments, they have prepared short professional developments on an assigned chapter out of the book. So the English department was assigned a chapter, the math department was assigned a chapter, and so on. Each of those professional developments is about 15 minutes long. So when you put them together, it's about a 2-hour PD. And we have put all of those together virtually with links the departments have created. And this Friday, that is part of their professional development expectation that they will complete. So that as a school community, we are all starting at the same place with how we can continue to build our abilities to have these necessary conversations with each other, with our students, and support the growth in our ability to have a truly equitable school for everyone involved. And more work to come after that. The book is just the first piece, but this is where we wanted to start. So there'll be many more pieces to come after that. Some safety pieces. On the right-hand side, again, my awesome administrative team out making deliveries of the PPE that Mr. Holt mentioned earlier, making sure that every classroom is fully supplied with everything they need to bring our students back into the building and keep them safe. And then on the left-hand side, we were very blessed this year through the help of Amy Burnett and our wellness center, our Bay Health Wellness Center, through a grant that she was able to secure, that we were able to install Halo smart sensors into each of our student restrooms. So there's actually two in each restroom because our restrooms are so big, we need two in each one for full coverage. And these sensors give us the ability to know when there's any loud, unusual noise in that area. So that could be from vandalism, it could be from physical aggression. It sends off a sensor to us to let us know that, and we get email and text message notification when that happens. The whole administrative team does. It also is able to detect any unusual vapors that may be in the area, and able to know whether those vapors are of a tobacco nature or a other substance. Believe it or not. So really nice technology that there's no way we would have been able to pursue without the help of Amy and the Wellness Center to install it. So it is in place. We have tested it. We've gotten our alerts. We know how it works. And when we get that alert, it tells us exactly which restroom to report to so that we can send someone quickly and get to the bottom of the cause. So we're excited about that also. And then our school counseling team, as mentioned earlier, it's a wonderful, wonderful award for them. And so it's worth mentioning again, this is a picture of everybody. This is actually a picture they had to submit as part of the application at the national level, because they will now move on to competition at the national level. So this is part of that submission. And Bruce, if you would, the next slide kind of gives some more details. Yeah, just to give you some more information about this award, what does it mean? So it's all the things that you guys already know this amazing team does. They take a look at our data. They make sure we're including all of our students. They make sure that what we're delivering to them is preparing them that when they leave us, they're going to do whatever they choose to do and be successful. And that they are taking a look at not just academics, but attendance and discipline and the whole big picture, and putting together whatever they can to help support everyone else in the building. I mean, they truly are the behind the scenes power that allows the rest of us to do what we need to do. And so it just makes me so happy that this amazing team is recognized at this level. The picture up in the right, we were fortunate last week to be able to do a Zoom call with Senator Carper, and that was quite entertaining. He is a great conversationalist. He individually talked with every single person on the call, and then he talked to us as a group, and he asked for our feedback about what we could recommend to him that he could do to help support us better. It was really nice for them to get that moment with him and to get a specific shout out for how much he appreciated what they did as well. And then this is the end, just a picture of what the front of the school will look like on Monday the 30th when we welcome our students back. Our banners that we'll put in place, the welcome back eagles. Our custodial team battled the wind for me the other day. Of course, I picked the windiest day of the year, right? But they did it. They got them up long enough for us to get a picture. We took them down to keep them safe, but they'll go back up and make sure that they're ready. So we stay on the 30th. And that's the end. Do you have any questions for me?
We are excited for your excitement.
Yes, I just can't wait.
I've had several messages from high school teachers who are just like, they can't wait. They just can't wait to feel what these other schools have done and get back in.
Yeah.
Thank you for all that you've done.
Thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda is our student board member report. So we will lob it over the internet to our student board member.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Good to go.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me virtually. I'm sorry that I could not be there in person. I just wanted to also say thank you to our great counseling staff at Smyrna High School. Every single person in that building has done so much to support me throughout my 4 years of high school. So congratulations, you guys all really deserved it. So just to start off, I did just want to jump right in and say that I've noticed that a lot of my peers have become really adapted to virtual learning. So it was challenging at first, but we're getting there. We transitioned perfectly, and I know that we're going to do the same for hybrid learning. Just as you teachers are excited, we are just as excited to get back in the classroom. I cannot tell you how much I can't wait for my first day back. So this is not the traditional sense in that our students are participating in clubs as much just because of our new restrictions. However, we are trying our best. So I did just want to highlight some big accomplishments. So this Friday, November 20th, after the school session, I think it's about 3:40 we're going in, but the class of 2021 officers were planning to go in and decorate the high school. So we're just going to leave some inspiring messages, welcome backs, all of that, just to kind of showcase not only our excitement, but really get most of our underclassmen excited as well. We are also planning on sending out postcards to students in the class that are remaining virtual. We don't want our virtual students to feel as if they're missing out on stuff, especially since it's our senior year. Recently, this past week, our counseling office, which is amazing, as I previously stated, has hosted our college application week. So I know that that not only encouraged me to turn in my applications, but encouraged a lot of my peers. They had a raffle, rewards, all of that kind of stuff. For our clubs, so while we can't really do much because we're not in person just yet, we have established officers in most of our clubs, such as SGA, NHS, and class office. For SGA, we are already beginning to plan and prep for a great Winter Spirit Week. I know that we've all been working together, even with Ms. Cook, to kind of decide what's going to be best, what's going to really get our students excited. And I know that I'm excited about what we've come up with, and I can't wait to put it into the school. And then our Educators Rising chapter and K-12 Early Childhood Pathways, we're also beginning on doing our annual Educators Rising competitions. Those will also be held virtually throughout the state of Delaware. We unfortunately cannot make them hybrid in any way, so those are going to be virtual. But overall, from what I've heard, from what I'm feeling, we're so excited to get back in, and everybody's been so supportive, and we just can't wait. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really, a huge shout out to you guys for thinking about your student members who won't be in the buildings and sending those postcards. That is just such a fantastic idea to keep those students engaged and feeling as part of the high school community. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for the report. Have fun on your first day back to school. All right, so at this time we have come up to formal public comment. I know you all are probably tired of me reading this, but I'm gonna read it anyway. You'll probably be able to recite it with me for too long, but time has been allocated at the beginning of most board meetings for individuals to address the school district board on issues of general concern. Due to privacy requirements, no individual persons may be identified during formal public comment. Each group should choose one representative to speak, and comments for the group must be limited to no more than 5 minutes. All other individuals are limited to 3 minutes. Speakers may not cede their time to others. Speakers will be recognized by me in the order in which you signed up. If a large number of people have signed up to speak, we can, at our discretion, limit the number of persons allowed to speak based on the order of sign up. During the course of formal public comment, the board at its discretion may enter into executive session to hear matters of a sensitive or private nature. Please remember that public comment is not a question and answer session. Once your name is called for public comment, you'll be unmuted and your camera will be enabled. Once you start to speak, your time begins. Once your time is up, you'll be muted and your camera will be turned off. I'm going to need someone else to take time because my phone is at 1%. And with that, Mr. Sweeney, do we have any signups for formal public comment?
Just one, Madam President.
All right, so at that time, can you go ahead and give that individual phone, or I'm sorry, audio and visual. Okay, time begins whenever you're ready.
Hi, thank you so much for your time and attention this evening. I know there's a lot of heavy things happening in the world right now, and everyone's stress levels are running high, so I appreciate the opportunity to voice my concerns around virtual learning. I sent an email chock full of lots of questions that I've been swirling in my mind and swirling around in conversations with lots of different people in our community over the last few months. Other parents, teachers, my kids, other people's kids. And obviously, while opinions are mixed, there is definitely an underlying current of stress and frustration and fear surrounding public K-12 at the moment. I feel like it's important to add that the draft of this email sat in my inbox for days while I antagonized hitting send, but here we are. And I do appreciate your time and attention. I know I had way too many questions for a live Q&A, but I think at the root of my email, the most critical question I can ask is, how are we going to manage this going forward? We're at the 8-month and counting mark of this kind of academic shutdown or delay, I guess, and it's not temporary anymore. And I really do feel like the expectations need to rise from a student perspective. I know our teachers are working so incredibly hard, and I appreciate them to no end. I can't even imagine what my son's teacher is going through right now, trying to juggle two groups of kids 4 days a week, half of them there, half of them not, but still having to manage all of the questions and concerns that come up while she's teaching the half of the kids that she has available to her that day. Most of the communications we've received really are around scheduling or sanitation procedures, and while I'm grateful for those, I just want to make the board aware that there's a lot of parents out there that have questions and concerns that run far deeper, more into the academic portion of what school means for our kids. I understand there's families in the district who can or won't support their kids' education. I've heard frequently in the last few months that the teachers' hands are tied. Essentially, they can't offer curriculum beyond what's kind of the bare minimum. I do care about those children and I feel badly for them. However, I do feel that holding everyone back so they can all stay behind really makes no sense to me. And I hope it doesn't make sense to any of you. If it doesn't make sense, then pushing it off for legal reasons also just doesn't make sense to me. And those are kinds of the answers that I've been hearing when I ask those kinds of questions. I think it's important to figure out a remediation plan for those kids, but I don't think holding everyone else back to make it easier is what's best for a lot of the kids. The questions I raise in my email, I feel, are really critical to understanding what's ahead in virtual learning. There seems to be no end in sight to get the kids back at a full-time basis. It seems like this hybrid model is going to be something that we're dealing with for at least a few more months to come. I'm not really sure I did catch the part about it's not really a question and answer, and I understand that and I appreciate that, but I would hope that at some point I can have some type of communication that helps me understand where my concerns really lie. I did hear Dr. Rudinoff speak a little bit about one of my first concerns, which is assessing and identifying the gaps. So just for the record, I have a third grader in the district, and I want to make sure that he's staying on grade level. I want to make sure that he's being looked at to see where he's supposed to be versus where he actually is, what are the gaps for him and for other students like him, and how are we planning on catching them up if they need to be caught up. I wanna make sure that when they do go back to school, whenever that is, that academic momentum gets to continue at the pace that these kids can take it. I think that, again, goes back to my point of holding everyone back for a few, or half, I don't really know what your percentages are for who's participating and who's not. But I wanna make sure that there are plans in place to keep those kids that have stayed engaged, especially at that elementary level, to keep them moving. I think they deserve the chance to be at grade level and at least have the chance to stay there. I wanna understand a little bit about what the district is doing from a leadership perspective to put some pressure on our politicians to get these kids back in school. I know other states have very different models and they've been successful. I want to understand if it's a political thing or if it's a safety thing, or maybe it's a combination. I'm not really sure. I have my opinions, but that's not really relevant. I want to know what we can do to support the effort if we are putting pressure on our politicians to try to engage these kids back full time. I want to know what I can do. I think also technology has been a sore spot. I think having a third grader trying to navigate some of these technology platforms that are difficult for many adults has been challenging. And I recognize that his teachers and many, many other teachers who are trying to help spend an inordinate amount of time answering questions about technology and the how-to versus the what.
So, Susan, I'm going to have to stop you because you've maxed on your 5 minutes of time. I will just ask you that if you have not already sent that email, to go ahead and send it. I couldn't quite tell from your presentation if you have, because I haven't received anything. So just encouraging that, if you wouldn't mind. Jody, can you unmute for just a second, please? Are you live?
Yes, it was sent. I sent it to Mrs. McCready.
Can you please send it to the members of the board, and then Mr. Williams and Ms. Judy then, please?
I can.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, my computer is deciding to go to sleep. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I didn't
get to. Thank you. Okay, now we are to new business. We have the approval of the board minutes from the October 21st, 2020 meeting.
Minutes from October 2020 meeting have minutes.
And we have, we have a motion by Ms. Evans and a second by Ms. Malik to approve the board minutes from the October 21st meeting as submitted. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 10.2, approval of the monthly financial report.
Yes, in your packets are the financial reports through the month of October. For your review and approval, and any questions, I would be glad to address for you.
Madam President, I move that we approve the monthly financial reports as submitted.
With a motion by Ms. Malik and a second by Ms. Evans to approve the monthly financial reports as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, the next item is 10.3, school choice for the 2020-2021 school year.
Thank you, Madam President. I just wanted to note to the public that school choice season is open, and we are accepting applications for the 2021-2022 school year. I don't have any of those applications here tonight to be approved by you. Those will come next month and then again in January. So those people who have already submitted, never fear, we're collecting those and we will begin the approval process for next month. So this is the 2020-2021 school year. We have 18 school choice applications for inter-district transfer and 4 choice applications for intra-district transfer, 2 inter-district school choice termination forms, and 4 intra-district school choice termination forms. 0 denied forms have been received for the 2020-2021 school year. And a lot of this was cleanup for the it is the recommendation of the administration that the inter-district students 1 through 18, the intra-district students 1 through 4, the inter-district school choice terminations 1 and 2, and the intra-district school choice terminations 1 through 4 be admitted under choice this evening.
I'll make a motion to approve the intra and intern termination applications submitted. Be approved as submitted.
Second. We have a motion by Ms. Evans and a second by Ms. Malik to approve the school choice as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is the school calendar, 2020-2021 school year first reading revision.
So as we started this year, you know, we had not looked at the calendar in the model of the hybrid. So looking at the hybrid and not knowing how long it will continue on, if we look at it in its current state, our hybrid one student would get about 63 days, and our hybrid two would get about 70 in-person days. So we wanted to take a look and see if we could balance that out. But knowing we put the calendar out to the parents early and some do plan weekends away and things like that, we try to stay cognizant. So we would propose that February 26th is currently a Friday and just switch to that Monday, March 1st. Looking at March 26th, the same thing, being on a Friday and moving that to the Monday of 3/29, and changing 4/30 from a Friday to 5/3/21. And if we were to stay in this model, that would balance out our days to 66 and 67. While we're looking at the calendar, Mrs. Cook is looking ahead to March, and we had a SAT day on March 24th. And if we have to be cognizant of spreading out students and spacing and things like that, we would like to propose doing the 10th grade PSAT on Wednesday, March 10th, leaving the March 24th for the 11th grade.
Thank you for continuing to adjust this as needed.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 10.4, the school calendar for the 2021 school year first reading revision as submitted by the administration.
We have a motion by Ms. Lloyd and a second by Ms. Evans to approve the school calendar for the 2021 school year first reading revision as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 10.5, the approval of the bid. Mr. Gallagher, were you going to read that stack in front of you?
Yes. as I mentioned earlier, the district advertised for Ed Parkdeck Engineering Services for the roofing and mechanical upgrades at North Smyrna Elementary School. We received 5 proposals. We brought all 5 firms in for oral virtual presentations. And the selected firm from the group was firm Clendaniel Architects. So this evening we would be asking your approval that we can negotiate with firm Clendaniel over the that contract. The contract will be, for the fee schedule, will be consistent with the state of Delaware. They have a fee schedule. The initial proposal is a total contract of $237,397, which includes reimbursables. That we will have to get formalized into a contract. We will also have to send that to the state for their review and approval before we can proceed. But tonight, what we are is asking for you to allow us to award that contract based on successful negotiations.
Thank you. They've been wonderful to work with in the past, and I'm excited to see them. I have a motion.
Madam President, I move that we accept bid number bids for our school district 2020. Dasha E. and for North Carolina Adventure as submitted.
A motion by Ms. Malik and a second by Ms. Evans to approve the bid award SSD 2001-AE underscore NSE Architectural Engineering Services for North Carolina Elementary School as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is personnel.
Madam President, I move that we accept personnel items 11.2 A through E, 11.3 A through F, none for 11.4, 11.5 A through L. The result revised extra time as submitted. Revised extra duty for the school year 2020-2021, revised winter paid coaches, revised fall volunteer coaches, and 11.10 substitutes for the 2020-2021 school year as submitted.
Second. We have a motion by Ms. Malik and a second by Ms. Evans to approve personnel items 11.1, 11.2, 11.3, 11.4, 11.5, 11.6, 11.7, 11.8, 11.9, and 11.10 as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Today we have no student matters. We do have a personnel matter, 13.1.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve personnel matter 13.1-2021-03 as submitted by the administration.
Second.
We have a motion by Ms. Lloyd and a second by Ms. Mallett to approve the student matter. I'm sorry, to approve the personnel matter 2021-03 as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I do just want to make a note that, you know, it certainly continues to be a stressful time, but I still am forever grateful that this is the district I live in and the district I get to represent. Meeting with folks around the state, there's nowhere I'd rather be, and I'm sure there's some place that all of us in this room would rather be. So thank you to all of your hard work, for our staff, for our students, and for our community. So with no other business, I declare that this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.